Praise your name, Jesus. God, we exalt, praise you. Hallelujah. And we are at the Shakara, Jesus, we worship you, Lord God.
I am not. no good and back in your house. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. We come to magnify the name of Jesus. We come to proclaim that he is the great I am. Oh, hallelujah. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. Oh, there is no other greater than he. Amen. He's the one that went to Calvary. I said, he's the one that went to Calvary. He put that cross upon his back. Oh, he took the beating, but you know what? He died for our sins. Amen. How many are thankful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. For the God we serve today.
Amen.
There's no God like our God.
That's right.
Praise the Lord, somebody. He
Hallelujah.
He deserves a voice, a shout of triumph. Amen. He deserves a praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. It's so good to be back in God's house, to be in his wonderful presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And I do have several announcements here. Let's not forget Monday through Saturday is family week. Amen. And that's the time that Pastor has given it to the family, that we come together as a family and enjoy time together. But most of all, let's continue to pray. Seek God's will. We're in revival in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not time to let it go and just
That's
sit
right.
back. No.
Right.
We need to continue each and every day. You know, just unite together and pray and God, let God be God in Jesus' name.
Right.
Also, Friday, there's going to be a youth meeting. They're going to come together. So right after service here this evening, the youth, there's going to be a meeting right after service for all the youth. You say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's going to be gathering. It's going to be a New Year's Eve gathering. Amen. It's going to be at the new facility here at 7 p.m. And they're going to have a great time. Amen. That's for our youth in Jesus' name. They will be truly blessed. We have clean, fun time. Amen. Not like at the world. Amen. But we have good, clean fun. How many are thankful that we're able to have good, clean fun?
Amen.
Not like the world has it.
Right,
not like the world has it.
That's right.
I tell you, there's a lot of misery out there. I'm being awakened by 2 in the morning, police officers in front of my house, shootings again. That's not fun, church. I thank God that he's delivered me out of that. He's delivered us out of gangs. Amen. We no longer have to run with the gangs. We no longer have to be in violence. Amen. But you know what? We have the good news to proclaim now. Amen. We have a mighty God. We have a great God. We need to go out. Amen. And compel them to come. Amen. To New Life Tabernacle. Amen. We're going to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Sunday, January 2nd, 2022. Can you believe that? It's here. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night. So please invite someone to the house of the Lord and you know, and just reach out to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's not forget also candy clouds are still available in the foyer right after service. Amen. If you are in need of candy clouds, please see Sister Lou right after service. Someone say praise the Lord. Also, we do have many prayer requests here. I want to bring before the Lord. I want to continue praying for Sister Hale for a recovery. Amen. From this surgery. Talked to Brother Hale. He said that everything went well, and this time around it's looking good, but she's still in recovery. Amen. So, church, let's continue praying for Sister Hale, but not only for her, let's continue praying for our pastor. If you notice, he sits down now. That's not him. We need to continue praying for him. Amen. He's the man of God. Amen. That, you know what? It's time to lift his hands. Amen. It's time to let him know. Amen. That you are a pillar. You're here for him. Amen. Let him feel it. Amen. Because only God knows. Amen. But God is his strength. Amen. God is his healer. So we want to pray for our pastor. Continue praying for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone say praise the Lord. Also for Sister Mary Salgado for recovery from her surgery as well. Want to continue praying for her and for all our elders. Amen. That God will minister to them. We love our elders in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, somebody. Also for the Malakia Guzman family, the passing of his mother. Want to pray for comfort on them, for that family in Jesus' name. Sister Christine Cabrales, want to pray for her. For tomorrow, she's going to be going in for a C-section. That God will minister and just, you know, guide the hands of the physician, and everything will be just right in Jesus' name with God. Thank God that we have a healer. We have a God that guides us. Amen. Takes all the fears away in Jesus' name. Amen. Also for Brother Isaiah Corrales, who's sick in body, want to pray for him. Also for Sister Sonia Carrillo, who's sick in body. Anthony Garcia is in need of healing, having problems still. Want to pray for him. Also for Sister Michaela Morales, who's sick in body. If you have a need here this afternoon by the uplifting of hands, want to present your need before the Lord. We want to pray for this service as well. As the word of the Lord goes forward, amen, God's anointed word, we'll continue doing the work. Also for our offering and tithing, as we collect, amen, that God will continue blessing us and leading us, amen, here in the city of Corcoran. Let's unite together. How many believe God's more than able? Amen. Let's pray, amen, on behalf of every need that is here. And for this service as well, let's unite together once again in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for who you are. You are a great God. Amen. You're a mighty God. And we're thanking you, dear Lord, for Sister Hale, for this recovery that she's going through. Lord, we pray that you will continue ministering, dear Lord. I pray, let the power of your Holy Spirit, my God, minister to her from the top of her head down to the soles of her feet, a complete healing upon her body. Lord, make her whole again. We also pray for our pastor, Pastor Hale, the man of God that you have sent unto this city. Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus in his behalf. Heavenly Father, let your virtue flow from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet, my God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you remove every sickness, infirmity that's in his body, that it be removed in Jesus' name. He be made whole again. I truly believe that there is nothing that is impossible with thee. I plead the blood, amen, that you pour at Calvary upon him once again in Jesus' name. Also, we pray for Sister Christina, who's going in for this C-section. Lord, that you will guide her and the physician as well. Lord, we pray for that there be a positive, complete healing in Jesus' name. Brother Isaiah and Sister Sonia and Anthony and Michaela are sick in body. We pray on their behalf. Let your virtue flow through those bodies as well and minister to them. We pray on behalf of the Malakia Guzman family on the passing of their mother. Lord, we pray that you will give them comfort and strength in the name of Jesus. For you are the comforter, my God. Lord, we're thanking you in advance. Lord, as we give our offering unto thee, we give once again with thanks. Cheerful heart, my God, as your word goes forward here this afternoon, we pray that your anointed word will continue doing a mighty work, and we're thanking you in advance. Oh, let's thank him, church. Let's give him a hand clap of praise, amen. Let's worship the Lord in our giving here today in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Oh, let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. Lord, you've been good to us. We are a blessed people. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your divine presence. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, we're wonderful to be able to serve a God like you. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good. Praise God. Praise God. So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this afternoon. And I know that this is not a time that we normally have service, but we can't allow the change, amen, to affect our worship and our praise unto God. Amen. Times, amen, that we are living in cannot stop us, hinder us, amen, from serving God. Praise God. What a great hour, a day to serve the Lord, because God has made it available to us, amen, to serve him in this time and age that we are living in. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like for us to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And while you are flipping through the pages of your Bible, I do want to say I hope and pray that you all had a good Christmas and was able to spend time with family and friends, and I pray you had plenty to eat, and now you can make some New Year's resolutions that say you're going to lose weight. But that's life. Amen. You put it on, you take it off, and then you find somebody else that took theirs off, and you got it. Amen. But amen. So I do pray you did have a beautiful Christmas with the family. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Today I want to take a different look at the Christmas story. We're going to take a different angle, possibly one that you never thought of, but yet it is so right in what I am going to preach here this afternoon. And I'm going to preach the very reason for the birth of Christ on this special festivity day in which the world celebrates his birth. I know in the day and age that we live in, there are so much commercialism that adds to this time frame that there are many that do not even consider nor even think about the birth of a Savior. They are caught up in the world's mentality, the thinking of humanistic ways. But I'm thankful that there are still a people that still know the reason for the season, and that is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he speaks these words, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Ask the Lord if he would speak to your heart here this afternoon. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We ask you, Lord, now that you would allow your word to penetrate our minds and our hearts. Let us hear what your spirit would have us to hear. We ask you to minister here this afternoon to everyone that is sitting here under the sound of my voice. I'm asking you, Lord, to minister to our heart here today. We ask you, Lord, that it's you alone that can make truly a difference for somebody here today. We ask, Lord, that you would minister, that your work would be accomplished in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Why don't you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? What a God we serve. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And so today I said earlier that I'm going to take a different approach to this Christmas message. We did choose today for our day of the Christmas celebration here in the church. But today my title will be Christmas is Forgiving. Christmas is Forgiving. It is at this time of the year that for most people wants become needs. Think about it. The things that you wanted 3 months ago now morph into things that you think you need. It's like at Christmas. If you don't get what you wanted, you were sorely disappointed at Christmas. Think about it. But I wanted, yet also for many adults, this Christmas may have been a little difficult. It is amazing what you hear and what you read at this time of the year. When you talk to people, I have heard some say, I just want to survive the holidays. Has anyone else ever heard that? I just want to survive the holidays. This is often the mood many have at Christmas because of some unfortunate event that had happened sometime at this time in their lives. This may have been the time of year when there may have been a death, a loss in one's family, and they're not looking forward to the empty place at the Christmas celebration. Sometimes there has been divisions in a family or some other kind of situation. And some are finding that it's very difficult to deal with at such a time. This time can be for some an awkward and even a painful holiday. You know, it's hard to eat a turkey dinner when you have issues with someone sitting at the table. I want to talk to you a little bit about the real message behind Christmas. It's the retailers that tell us that Christmas is forgiving. They mean that Christmas is for you to go out into their store, purchase. purchase a gift for someone and to give it to them because it's a time of giving. But hopefully, that individual of whom you give the gift to, or you, will not have to stand in line to return it. Think about it. However, I want to share this afternoon a message with you that Christmas is forgiving. Christmas is forgiving. That is the true spirit of Christmas. Every family, every relationship, and every individual must deal with the subject of forgiveness. I have found that some families can be kind of weird in how they deal with certain perplexities in their family's homes. But how many of you have different types of people in your extended family? Now just think about it. Right now, some of your minds are just saying, oh yeah, Uncle so-and-so. What a character. Or, oh no, Aunt. Oh, is she coming? I hope cousin doesn't show up. There might be something in the Word of God that I haven't been able to find as of yet that says every family is going to have one problem individual. I haven't found it, but I'm sure it's there. You know what I'm talking about. The issues. I have a cousin that years gone by during the time of years and types of celebrations, whether it was birthdays or Christmas or any time. I remember us kids, young people, saying, well, if so-and-so shows up, don't believe a word he says. But let's go back to the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus wanted it to be known why he came. But then the next verse, you know, it's John 3:16 that everyone quotes, but yet they fail to read or to quote the 17th verse. And it says this, for God sent not his Son, we know it's his own flesh, into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't condemn. Did we get that? God doesn't condemn you, but he will convict you. Can you imagine God came in flesh to that world that he created? And if anybody had a right to condemn or to make you feel insignificant, incapable, and unlovable, it would have been God who came manifest in the flesh. Why? Because he was perfect. And he came with a purpose and with a reason. And that was to instill a part of him in you. But God did not come into the world to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, this is a very important principle. The Word of God tells us about a young man by the name of Joseph. He was loved by his father, and he had 11 brothers. Joseph's life almost becomes a tragedy because his brothers did not like him. You ever felt that? His mom and dad doted on him, and the brothers got jealous. They didn't like him at all. Joseph was a young man. He was in his early teens, and he was his father's favorite. His father gave him a coat of many colors. This is a familiar story. But so often we tend to lose its meaning and why it was given, and why not was it only given, but it was literally, can I use the term, stretched out. Because there was much to learn in this young man's life that can apply to every single one of us here today. His brothers were jealous of him because dad found favoritism on him. And yet the story unfolds on how God showed Joseph something about his life. And Joseph was so excited about what God showed him that he had to tell his brothers. God had given Joseph a dream about his life. And so Joseph in turn tells his brethren, I have heard a word from God, and God is going to use me. I just feel like God has something special for me. And Joseph's brothers were very skeptical, very cynical, and very hateful. They said, who is the dreamer? God can't use a kid like you, Joseph. But if you're a Bible reader and you know the complete story, you know that it's finally that his brothers came to a point where they begin to plot against him. They took Joseph and they deceived their father. They took the coat of many colors that the dad had given to Joseph, and they tore it up and they covered it with blood of an animal. They then presented it to their father, pretending to him that a wild animal had killed Joseph. And this is what they found. But then what they did to Joseph was a very horrid event. They put him in a pit to die. Finally, I'm not going to tell the entire story because I want to get to the point. But finally, we know that traitors came by. Though they were going to kill Joseph in the pit, have him starve, or some wild animal to go in and to kill him. But they thought, let's kill two birds with one stone. We'll not just kill him, but we'll sell him and get some money in return for him. They sold their brother into the hands of traitors that were just passing through on their way to Egypt. There he had to stand on the auction block, and there somebody purchased him. Joseph was sent into slavery. But the thing about this young man, Joseph, was that he worked diligently, he was loyal and faithful, and he worked hard for this pagan master that had purchased him. And this caused Joseph to rise in the household of Potiphar. And Potiphar gave Joseph a most trusting position in his home. Even though Joseph was a slave, Potiphar trusted him. The Bible tells us that Potiphar didn't have to worry about Joseph. He trusted Joseph until Potiphar's unfaithful wife accused Joseph of seducing her. We know the story. Potiphar, was it because he was wanting to save face? Had Joseph thrown back into prison? So Joseph is finding himself once again in the prison house. A slave, yet a prisoner. Joseph, can I say these words, came to the lowest within his life. Have you been there? Have you felt the pressure? Have you felt issues that literally brought down not only your faith, your countenance? And there we find Joseph in a prison house. There he meets a couple of political prisoners. It's Pharaoh's own butler and baker. And then again, if you've read the story, you find that these two men have dreams and it troubles them. And they tell to Joseph, and Joseph gives them the interpretation. And Joseph says, in 3 days you're going to die, or in 3 days you're going to be elevated back to your position in the palace. Wow. And in 3 days, that's exactly what happened. And Joseph tells the one, remember me when you go back into Pharaoh's palace that I am here. But like many of us, you're forgotten. And he forgets about Joseph there in the prison house. But Pharaoh then has a dream. No one can interpret. And finally, the one in whom Joseph revealed to him his dream says, oh, Pharaoh, there is one that is still in that prison house that interpreted our dreams that came to pass. Joseph was only about 17 years of age. Now, some of you out there, you're either a little older or a little younger, but how many times has the devil convinced you you can't be used by God? How many times have you failed God and you stumbled and the devil tells you you're never going to be much in the kingdom of God? We know the story. Joseph's brought before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is given the interpretation of his dream. All because a young man was willing to spend time with God. And I'm not talking about as you spend time with your buddy, but I'm talking about you spending time with God. Amen. In prayer. And God gave the wisdom that Joseph needed at this time. And so Joseph is elevated to second in command under Pharaoh himself, because this dream showed Pharaoh what was to come. There was going to be a great famine, but prior to the famine, there was going to be a time of plenty. And Pharaoh thought, well, I've got to find somebody with wisdom that's going to help us to know what to do during the time of plenty so that we can know what to do for the time of famine. And Pharaoh instantly knew who it was, the one who had interpreted his dream. And can I say this? That God was with Joseph. And I want to say also, it doesn't matter where life takes you, God will be with you. And so we find as the story hustles on that famine hits the country. And daddy sends Joseph's brothers to Egypt because that's the only place where there's any food to be found. And as the brothers enter into Egypt, of course, there they are. And they're searching for all what is needed to take back home. And they have to eventually come in contact with the one in whom Pharaoh had put in charge of all the food bins. Can I use that term? And so they stand before Joseph, whom they did not know. And Joseph recognizes them. He knows right off, these are those brothers. They had no idea this was Joseph. Joseph was probably speaking in the Egyptian dialect. Surely he looked different now because he had grown up. And he was probably wearing some Egyptian clothing. He was not recognized. And so here we find, amen, Joseph with his brethren. And I want you to know it happened more than once. But I want to take you to the climax of the story. There, as his brethren are before him, Joseph cries out for all of his servants and all of the soldiers that are there in his room, which was like a palace room. He tells them to leave. Yet some of them are hesitant because these are foreigners and they could possibly try to kill their leader. But yet Joseph was adamant, get out. And so they reluctantly leave that room. And then it's there that Joseph reveals himself and he lets his brethren know in pain that they were brutal to him. That they tried to do harm to him. He says, I am your brother Joseph. I am the one you sold into slavery. I am the one you threw in a pit. I am the one whose life you wrecked. And then when he finally let it, the floodgates opened, and the Bible says he wept aloud. Can I give you my title again? Christmas is forgiving. Christmas is forgiving. Can you imagine what those Egyptians that was asked to leave the room, what they thought as they begin to hear Joseph cry aloud? He was so much within his emotions that he could not contain the weeping. Can I use the word, the agonizing within? He had to let it out. There was so much pain in the life of Joseph due to his brother's mistreatment. If some of you could just have the courage to deal with some of the issues and some of your relationship difficulties that you face, you would weep just as Joseph wept, uncontrollably. You can put a smile on your face, and you can put on your Sunday best, and you can come to church, and you can hide a whole lot of pain behind your smile or your handshake. It's easy to slip into the cycle of recycling pain and continuing the hurt. But there is only one thing to stop this emotional merry-go-round. In life, there is only one thing that lets you break the cycle just as Joseph broke. He let it all out. In front of his brothers. He wept. He cried. Then he forgave. The hardest thing that humanity can do, forgive. It must have been an unbelievable thing to watch. Joseph breaking down at such a position that he held. But yet even the strongest sometimes try to hide in the hurt and the pain. And if anybody had a reason not to forgive, it was Joseph. Because they wrecked his life. Yet he had become an important man. It doesn't matter how high up you get in our society. There are some things that never change. And you can try to cover it up and wrap it up pretty. But there's going to come a time when there's going to be a breakdown. And it's best that that breakdown comes through you than coming through something else. Joseph could not get over the fact that he had been in prison for at least half of his lifetime. Think about it. And it was all because of his brethren, his own flesh and blood. Joseph wasn't a bad guy. It was not like Joseph did something to his brothers. Joseph was the innocent victim. All he did was tell his brothers about God's plan for his life. All he did was say, "I thank God, can use me." All he did was say, "I know, I think. Someday God is going to do something in my life." I want you to understand here today that there have been many of us that at different times you felt that from God. You felt that unction in God. You came at night, you prayed, you sought God, you wept before God. You gave your petitions unto God. And in your prayers you felt assured that God was going to do something for you. That God was going to minister to you and through you. And then all of a sudden havoc breaks loose in your life. And the devil starts using things. Amen. To discourage you. He starts using things in your life to get you out of focus and to get you to forget the times you spent in prayer in these altars. And he begins to build up other things to take the place of that desire in your heart to do something for God. The devil starts putting things before you to interrupt your devotion to God, to distract you from what you felt God give you. I'm not speaking, amen, here today to a group of people that's not already have things go through your mind. Amen. That God is talking to you about concerning the message that you're hearing. Right now, some of you are thinking in your mind how you tripped up. How you have stepped back and you're not as committed as you once were. You've allowed other things to come into your life, amen, that are taking place of those things you used to do for God. cried so loud. Everybody outside the locker room heard him. But he just let it out. And he let it go. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. But this does not let any of us off the hook. Because everybody has probably had somebody hurt them. You've all had somebody in your life that did you wrong. We've all had somebody in our lives that has done something that made you feel like they hated you or were out to get you. Everybody can identify to that. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He just says, here is how you deal with it. And I know right now, here this afternoon, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it in my spirit. There are individuals that don't want to hear this. There are individuals that your mindset is, oh, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear the Christmas story. I want to hear about the Savior that is going to bless me. But sometimes that never comes to pass until you're able to get past the hurt that you've been carrying in your life for so long. You got to be as Joseph. You've got to let it out. And sometimes the best place to let it out is in an altar of prayer. And you cry out to God to help you to be released from these pressures, from these issues within your life that seem to have you so bound. You got to release them from you so you can let them go. You know, this is not what we want to do, just to let it go. You know what? Our flesh wants to retaliate. Our flesh wants to get even. Our flesh wants to get vengeance. But isn't it strange that human beings have this tendency to hold on to the various things that hurt them the most? They don't want to let go. It's almost like it's the sugar stick they thrive on, that they want to get worked up over and over and over again, when it's the very thing that's dwarfing your spirituality. God's wanting to do something in your life, but you're not letting him. Because you're holding on to hurts of the days gone by. And God's saying, if you'll let go, you can move on. If you can just forgive and forget, it's not going to change anything, except it can change you. We mull those things over in our minds for years. We hang on to those things so long and for so much that we have years of hurt and years of pain that are bottled up inside of us. But Jesus refuses to do that. Can you imagine Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, doing nothing but good? He never retaliated. I'm telling you what, he could, at the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have just, with a few words, literally brought lightning from heaven that could have just zapped them out. But he didn't do nothing. He healed people. He blessed people. He blessed their children. He taught in their streets. I'm telling you, when Jesus got done talking, people left with a different mindset. They left with hope. They left with the mentality of things are going to get better. He did everything for them. He fed them. He healed them. Miracles were given. Yet he doesn't receive much in return. And yet the Pharisees, the religious leaders, conspired against him. He did good. But yet they conspired. They plotted to destroy him. And they finally orchestrated his crucifixion. He's now on the cross, hanging in agony. It was the worst scene of an unjustified murder that the world could ever have imagined. But here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine that? Now here's Michael comes up to his brother Daniel, smacks him in the nose. What was that for? Well, let me get the other side. He hits him again. And Daniel stops back and said, "Lord, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing." Could you have done it that way? Oh, that's human flesh. He'd only got one punch in. That would have been it, right? See, that's the way we are. That's the way we retaliate. We're quick. But can we become like Jesus and say, "Lord, forgive them, for they don't really know what they're doing"? They don't understand that they are acting out of sin. They don't understand that they are crucifying the living God. They don't understand. So he gives them this principle throughout his entire ministry that we should let go, release, walk on, and move beyond that situation. I hope you hear me. Some of us struggle because of things that have happened that we refuse to let go of it. There are things in your own home that have happened that you still use it against your spouse, your kids, your parents. And every time something happens, you're quick to bring it up. But why don't you learn to let it go? Why don't you learn how to really take care of those issues in your life? They knew they were crucifying the Lord, Jesus. But Jesus said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here's what Jesus meant. They don't understand what they're doing. They do not understand why they are acting out of sin. They don't understand who they're really crucifying. They don't understand. How do you forgive when you cannot control your feelings? Oh yeah, I've heard people say, I control my feelings. Yeah, when you try to do good, what happens? Those feelings sneak up on you. At inopportune times, and your feelings just come rushing out to the surface. But how do you forgive when you can't control your feelings? Think about it. Look at Jesus. Look at Joseph. You've never been crucified. You've never had a crown of thorns pushed into your brow. Many of you have never had someone spit on you. I have. I've had them cuss me out on my front porch. I didn't retaliate. I'm not looking for vengeance. Hello? And one of them is still in church. But I'll never tell. Why? Because I've learned to let it go. I've learned, understand, amen. And how often have I had to say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not how they act. They don't know. You've got to come to the realization that sometimes people's emotions, when they lash out, it's not really possibly at you as it was for something else that happened in their life. And it just seems like your situation brought it to the surface and their emotions got out of control. You got to learn to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you can't move on. You can't go on to something better because it will hinder you. Every time you look at them or see them, it's going to come back to your mind. What is it? It's the devil's trying to destroy you. But if you can let it go, if you can just learn to forgive. I had someone one time tell me, it's so hard to forgive because it's hard to forget. I said, that's what you got to get broke. You need to forgive and you need to break that remembrance. Break it. You got to have that mentality. I forgave them a long time ago. Devil, I'm not going to allow you to bring that back up. You know why he does? Because he's not bringing it up to hurt the individual. He's bringing it back up to your remembrance to hurt you. What they do to Jesus, they parted his raiment, they cast lots. You know, forgiveness is only able to come to pass by making a choice. Think about it. You forgive someone because you made the choice to forgive. It was a choice. I'm taking some time here today because I felt this so strong in my spirit when I was praying the other day. And it was just like, you know, I'm sorry, but if you were looking for the wonderful Christmas story of a birth of a Savior, that's what I'm giving you today. Amen. Christmas is for forgiving. Christmas is forgiving. The sole purpose that Jesus came. The sole purpose that God came from the glories and robed himself in flesh was for forgiving. Oh yeah, he came and gave gifts unto men. The greatest gift that he ever gave humanity was his spirit. But how is it that we so often get tripped up and all of a sudden, we grieve the Holy Ghost that's in us because of our actions, because of our words, because of things we say. And I'm telling someone here today, God is wanting you to be free. He's wanting you to feel the release of those things that you've allowed to build up within you for so long. He's wanting you to release those things as Joseph. And sometimes it only happens at an altar where you can pour out your innards in such a way that you weep before God. God, take this from me. And you know, as quick as he forgave you of your sins, he can give you the ability to also forgive. But it's your choice. Here is how you make that choice to forgive. You know, I'm going to stop right here to say this. The biggest battle that any of us are going to have is to forgive and to accept forgiveness. Because we have a tendency of wanting to hold on to that. But let me help you to know how to make that choice to forgive. It's simple. Really, it's simple. But we make it so hard. So let me help you here this afternoon. You need to make a list of all the things in your mind that you did against God that got you in trouble in the first place. I'm telling you right now, some of you are thinking in your mind, you know, I stole this from my sister. I took this without asking my parents. You know what? If we were honest with ourselves before, if we were to do that today, I would already go home and you'd still be here writing your list. Don't look back at me like you're some innocent little angel. I'm telling you what, every one of us would have a list as long as our arms. But I'm trying to help someone to get beyond some hurts and some feelings that you have harbored in your heart for so long. Make a list of all the things in your mind that you know that you did against God. Now, when I say against God, I'm really, whatever you did to your brother, whatever you did to your cousin, whatever you did to whoever, you do that against God. You have to make a list of all the sins that separated you and God. Isn't that the word? That when you sin, it separates you from God until you seek repentance? Then you have to admit that when you were an unlovable sinner, and when there was no reason for God to forgive you, he wiped out your list of your wrongs and he put you in his family. This is the problem. It happens so often, so fast. We come to an altar. We ask God to forgive us of our sins but we hate the way it makes us feel. We hate the way that we've been living and the life that it's brought us, that it's quick to say, oh, I gotta get back to church. I've gotta get my life fixed. It's a mess. And all of a sudden, God fills us with his spirit. And it's like, wow. And then someone talks to us about getting all of our sins remitted in water baptism, and we're quick. We want to get baptized. And you know, all of that can happen so quickly. That now when we start dealing with issues, it's hard to let those issues go because somebody hurt us. Somebody infringed on my life. I feel the pain. I feel the hurt. And we can never get beyond it. Every time we start trying to make ourselves better, every time we start to try to, you know, go somewhere in God, what comes to your mind? It's one of two things. Someone's issues against you or your own sins. And they stop you dead in your tracks and you don't go any further. And so that's why it's important that we deal with these things in the right and proper order. Write a list of all those issues that, you know, we want to forget. Oh, man, you don't want to remember those things that you did, you said, you acted on. But make yourself a list. And, oh, you might not feel good about it, but you're going somewhere with it. So make yourself a list and recognize that, you know, after you make your list, because of the love of God and because of my biblical plan of salvation that I received, my list has been wiped clean. But then take the list of whoever has wronged you. You know, I'm going to be honest right now and tell you this. Your long list is going to be a whole lot longer than those who did you wrong. I'm telling you. Why is it? Because we know who we are. And we know what we've done. And we know where God brought us from. So you make your list. Now you make that list of whoever's wronged you. And in your mind, or put it on paper, you jot down everything that's been done against you. When you get done, compare the two lists. Because on one side, you will have some very terrible things, but they were temporal. They all happened here in this life, on this earth. But think about it. 50 years to 100 years from now, those that did you wrong are going to be gone. Nobody is going to know anything about those things. Brother Lamb, there's some things that your mom and dad did that you don't even know about. Yeah. You don't know about because they didn't tell it. Think about it. But yet, on the other hand, there are those things that you're not willing to let go of, that you're not wanting to get ahead of, that are going to separate you from God for all eternity. Jesus talked about this in his parables. This is not something I've been making up here this morning, this afternoon. But Jesus talked about these things consistently. That if you've been forgiven much. Hello. Right now. I didn't even have to say it. But every one of you. It came to your mind. You said it within yourself. That you need to forgive much. We have to deal with it. Or it will, can I use the term? It will spiritually dwarf us. And we will never be what God truly designed for us to become. I want to illustrate it like this. How many remember the first bicycle that you ever tried to ride? I guess most of you still haven't ridden one. How many remember the first bicycle you tried to ride? There's a few more that's saying, yeah. I almost hate to ask the question, but have some of you never had a bicycle? Well, I have one young man raise his hand and said he doesn't have a bicycle. You may not have one right now, but Katie, have you ever had a bicycle? Liz, have you ever had a bicycle? I can go to all, some of you didn't raise your hands. I'm wondering, your parents deprived you? How many of us remember the first time you tried riding a bicycle? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for asking that tough question because some of your memories are... Do you remember how tough it was? Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you remember when you crashed your first bicycle? Hey, did you give up? Or did you say, I'm going to ride you if it's the last thing I do? You know, sometimes that's the way we've got to deal with our life. When we got these situations that come before us, amen, we got to deal with it. And the mentality needs to be, I'm going to deal with this and I'm going to win if it's the last thing I do. You know why? Because eternity is at stake. Eternity is at stake. What did Jesus do with our offenses? You're going to have to think on this one. Have you ever offended Jesus? Have you ever said something you shouldn't have said? Have you ever did something that you shouldn't have done? Do you know that you offended Jesus? But what did Jesus do with our offenses? He let them go. What does he tell us to do with the offenses that others do against us? He says, let them go. Human beings are so stubborn. We do everything but let go of hurt. We will do everything but let go of offenses. We'd break up relationships. We'll move away and not speak to individuals. We will do all kinds of weird things that are against the will of God for your life just because we're not willing to let it go and forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, the apostle Paul wrote to the Christians. Paul said, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Here's the point. As completely as you want God to forgive you of your sins, that is how much you need to forgive everyone else that messes up your life. Joseph did it. Jesus did it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We need to learn, as Joseph, to weep unashamedly before your brother, your sister. There needs to be a tenderness that comes into your life and into your heart. You need to let go. It's all through the New Testament. What is on the other side of letting go? It's a question. What is on the other side of forgiveness? Think about it. When you truly forgave someone, how did it make you feel? When you knew that you were forgiven, how did it make you feel? hope it's all right. This is just what I felt. Because I felt in prayer that God was trying to help some. But some of us were having a struggle with some of these helps that He is trying to help us with. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Can you imagine Here's Joseph. The Lord had already given him dreams and talked to him about what He wanted him to be like. And this is what we read at the end of the story, beginning in Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of... This is talking to his brothers. Because they actually came to him after the fact that they had come to Goshen. They were blessed all those years with plenty of food. They were healthy. And all of a sudden, daddy dies. And the sons all think, oh no. The only reason why Joseph was being so kind to us was because of daddy. Now that daddy's gone, he's going to retaliate. He's going to get vengeance. And so they come to Joseph. And they're pleading their case, like they're begging Joseph not to do them in. Don't throw us into prison. And Joseph, his response to them was, fear not. For am I in place of God? I am not going to try to get back at you. I'm not going to try to get vengeance on you. I'm not going to try and get revenge. I am not God. God worked through your hateful acts against me to bring me to where I am. Do you think I am so stupid now that I am going to try to get vengeance on you? I am not in the place of God. Joseph said, you meant evil. You meant to destroy. You meant to hurt. But God reached into the middle of all of that. And He brought something good out of it. Think about it. If you will just learn to let go, do you know God can bring about good, what was done for evil against you? I'm going to say right here and right now, it has happened many times in my life. I refuse to allow things to get in my way. But I just learn to let go. And I've learned to forgive and get on with life. And God has blessed you. God has blessed me. Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, this was what the Lord was referencing. He was referencing our worship. He said, when you come to worship, if you're holding something in your heart against somebody, you need to go and make it right. Then come to the altar. Now, it's not talking about you got to come up here. It's talking about you, wherever you're at. You're sitting in a pew. You're at home. You're in your vehicle. Hello? And He says, hey, He brings things to your mind all the time that you need to take care of. You need to deal with. He said, hey, before you think you're going to worship me, He said, you got to deal with these things in your life. You know why He's saying that? He says, because if you don't deal with them, I'm not accepting your worship. Hello? He says, go and make that right, and then come and offer me worship. I want to just add a little more to that. If they don't know about it, you may be harboring something in your heart against somebody that they know nothing about it. There's a game, I've heard kids play it. I've never participated in it, and I won't. Have you ever played the game Truth or Dare? You're just like, I didn't say that. It was a sinful game. Oh, I don't want to raise my hand. Because Pastor Rick, I'm in, no. What that game represents is truth or dare. And if you say truth, then they're going to ask you a question, and you got to say it truthfully, the answer. And I'm telling you what, I've heard people say, yeah, I don't like playing that game with so-and-so because they never want to tell the truth. They always say, dare. You know, my response to that, well, the reason why they're always wanting to do the dare is because they know they don't want the truth out. Truth or dare? Let me give you a little helpful note. If there is someone that don't know about your offense that you hold against them, and you're saying, oh, then I need to go and tell them, and I don't know. If they don't know anything about it, it needs just to remain between you and God. Let me tell you why. If they don't have any idea, don't start like this. I hated you for 25 years, but God has helped me. No. Just deal with it between you and God. That's as far as you need to go. Because if you take the other step, the other direction, you go up to someone and says, you know what, I never liked you. And they never knew it. But now, not only do they have to carry that, but you have to carry it. Because those things that you say live on. But if you didn't ever open up the can of worms because they didn't even know it, but you took care of it between you and God, and you took care of it, and once you take care of it, you can treat them a little great. Hey, sister, brother, hello. But when you open a can of worms that they never even knew and you tell them how you felt, it's hard to look them in the eye after you told them something they never even knew, because now they know. You know what's going to happen? A distance. When you come walking up that aisle, they're going to come walking down this aisle. It's just human nature. So the best way to deal with issues of that nature is just you and God. Several years ago, I dealt with a situation, and this individual came to me and said, I've got some haunting memories of issues in my life, and I don't know how to deal with them. They always are getting in my way. And I said, well, tell me what's going on. And so they told me a story a long time ago. And I said, well, I said, the best thing to do is go to them, because it was an issue between two people. And they looked at me and said, I can't. Of course, my feelings is, no, it's not you can't, you don't want to. But later it was exposed to me, the person already died. And I can't go to them. They're dead. And so I told them this, write a letter. Write them a letter. And it was like, write a letter? They're dead. I said, no. Write a letter. Put it in an envelope. Put a stamp on it. Endorse it. And then burn it. Because it's done. Sometimes there are things in our lives that we're only going to be able to deal with is with you and God. And that's okay. Forgiveness is important. When Jesus came to this earth, the whole reason he came to us to initiate Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. For if ye forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Christmas is forgiving. Christ was coming to forgive us of all of our sins. And I want to end here this afternoon with this. Because some of you, the person you need to forgive is yourself. For some of you, the person that you need to have a conversation with is yourself. Because you failed or you had fallen and you won't let go. I want to help somebody here this afternoon on this Christmas afternoon message. If you've had enough health to get to this house of God this afternoon, and you had enough strength to stand on your feet as the choir sang, and you lifted your hands in a worship to God, then you have the strength and you have the power and you have the ability to not only forgive yourself, but to forgive those that had given an offense or did you wrong. Don't let the pain, the hurt, dwarf your spirituality, because it will. Because the adversary of your soul will do his utmost best to use it to his advantage. How often have we at times been praying, been worshiping, and all of a sudden something came to our mind on we did this or someone did this. It's not God. It's not God that's brought that to your mind. But it is the very adversary of your soul that's trying to use that very thing to hinder, to stop, to destroy the purpose that you are there worshiping God for and all about. You can move on. You can move on. There are some things you will never be able to fix, but there are a lot of things that you can deal with. Quit going backwards. The only thing that you can do is declare to God that you're going to stop right here and right now. And this is the last time you're going to allow those things to hinder you, to stop you. You're the only one that has the power of that choice. Oh, how many times has someone come and said, I'm sorry. And your response was, again? Again? Lord, don't ever stop your forgiveness towards me. Does he look at you and say, again? No. But every time you come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, he opens his arms wide and he hugs you because he loves you. God deals with our imperfections. How did he deal with them? Found in Matthew chapter 1. And she shall bring forth a son. Mary, the virgin, was a woman who was looked on by her society as someone of ill repute. The one who was carrying Jesus in her womb. But they looked at her as a woman of ill repute. She would be the one who would bring forth the son. And the angel said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he should save his people from their sins. But if you'll read back through that chapter, you will notice a lot of names that were mentioned that had messed up, that had fallen on their face and failed. If you go back to the genealogy and you start reading all of those names, I'm telling you, there are names. Sometimes we just read it. We don't actually look back and say, oh, I remember what he did. I remember what she did. I remember what horrible things he was a part of. But then they're the lineage of the Christ child. So you will find one after another those who failed God but got beyond it. For all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us is more than just a three-word phrase for Christmas. God with us is how we should live. God is with us in the middle of our mistakes. God is even with us in the middle of our failures. He loves us. And let me be more personal. He loves you. And God says, I will forgive you. But he says, but there's just two things I want you to do for me. Number one, I want you to forgive everyone else that has wronged you. I want you to let it go, own it, and then drop it. And number two, then I want you to forgive yourself. Because who are you to hold something against yourself if God has forgiven you? Could we stand? Christmas is forgiving. Every eye closed. This ending of this Christmas service here today, this is how I want to end it. I just want, when I call everyone to come forward, I want us all to come together, because I don't want anyone to feel that I'm pulling you out of this crowd that is here today. But I want you to be able to come with the crowd, with the group. Amen. And I want you to come with this purpose. There's maybe different issues in your life. There may be certain things that you've allowed, you've held on to, that the Lord today wants you to let go of them. He wants you to let go He wants you to let go of them, and He wants you to move forward in your spiritual life. Some of us need to forgive others. As I stated earlier, they may be already dead and gone. They may have mistreated you, and you can't go to them, and you can't. No, let it be between you and God in these altars here this afternoon. Why don't you just come and pour out your heart to God and let God know, Lord, I've been carrying this for so long, but Lord, I want to let go today because you forgave me. I want to be able to forgive others. Amen. This altar's open right now. Would we all come? Would we all come? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Come on, this is a choice that you have to make yourself. Please don't make that decision that you're going to carry it because you don't want to let go. But what you fail to forget is that what you hold on to is going to affect your kids. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your family. Christmas is forgiving.
Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Others find a way.
Let it go. Let it go.
I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Others find a way.
Please forgive me. Oh, please forgive me.
your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you till my dying day. Help others find a way. Grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way. Your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Oh, please. Forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way. Your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Oh, please. Your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Please forgive. I need your grace to make it through. till my dying day. Help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I need your grace. Till my